I wasn't like.
So you told her sister you don't like her.
I didn't say I don't like her because we're cool. Like, we were friends.
Well, no, I don't mean as a person. I mean romantically.
Like romantically.
You texted her sister and said,
yes,
I am not into your sister and I'm just making sure she's not into me.
Well, more or less. I don't think I said it like that, but
yeah,
just
that's
to the
bad.
Point where it's for somebody, well, she would know, like, oh, like, I don't want her to even go in that vein because, you know, I'm trying to pursue you, you know?
That was horrible advice.
Terrible advice. But I didn't know any better. I was
I'm sorry.
All right, we're back for another week of the Better Than One Marriage Podcast. I am Ron.
And I'm Chelsea.
And we are still married another week. And we want whoever's listening right now, go ahead and hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that subscribe button, make a comment already. Say, this is a great podcast. Definitely a good looking couple at the very least. I don't know what type of content they have, but they're certainly good looking.
Hilarious.
And that's enough for me to watch. We've made it another week.
We have. Praise the Lord.
I don't know what it took for us to get through this week, but we got it.
Hey.
You know.
Because we got the Lord.
Somebody got divorced this week.
I mean, that's true. Wow. That's a thought.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Somebody got separated. Somebody slept on a couch or two.
Yeah.
Somebody
wow.
got the declined lovemaking. Somebody said, you got to get on the bottom here, sir.
You know, that's something we've never done. You've never been in the doghouse.
Nah.
I don't do the doghouse thing. And it's interesting, too, that it's like only the woman is allowed to put the man in the doghouse. Like, you're sleeping on the couch, Joe, but don't let Joe be like, you're sleeping on the couch, Lisa.
That's, well, most men, I feel like most men wouldn't even have the heart to do that.
Yeah.
Because they feel like deep down, women are crazier. She might try to kill me.
Okay.
In my sleep, right?
That's definitely why.
She definitely might be like, all right, cool, I'm on the couch. All right, cool. I'm on the couch, no problem. If you hear, you ain't gonna hear what I got for him tonight. You wake up and she's looking at you, standing right over top of you.
Did you sleep good, Joe?
Did you sleep well, Joe? I was just in here sharpening my knives.
Right.
I don't know if you need any. You have any knives that you'd like me to sharpen? That's the women. That's why you can't put her in a doghouse. See, women are better, but I feel like men are nicer to women than women are to men. In the vein, like,
no, I agree.
Yeah, like I
well,
can't even imagine.
Well, when you have a good man,
right? Well, yeah, because
yeah, some women
that goes without saying.
Some women don't have that luxury.
That's for
unfortunately.
Sure. Unfortunately, but yeah, if you have a good man, I'm like he doesn't want to, like, men don't like hurting women's feelings. Like,
no.
Just decent men, like, they hate it. Like, mm-hmm. Nobody does, but I feel like women don't have as much of a luxury as being for like being too nice as men do.
Mm-hmm.
Because like we do not want to hurt women's feelings. Like you saw with daggone Axel, like, or whoever. Just like I'll be nice to her, or I gotta start acting like a jerk. Mm-hmm. And I can't even do it just so she'll break up with me, because I wouldn't dare say I don't want to be with you no more.
Right.
And then she start crying. I mean I don't want to be with you, but like I don't want you to not exist.
Right.
And now it's just like, oh man, I ruined it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's over.
Women, I don't feel like women have that luxury, because dudes be crazy. You can't be playing. He's like, look, sir, I don't want you no more. Please don't be coming around here. Don't be calling me.
Like, wait, what? You don't want me anymore.
Listen, don't be stalking me, sir. Don't
so
be
what does
popping
that mean?
Up.
So you don't want to see me every day? Should we go to every 2 days?
See. See, not taking it. See?
Oh, so once a week?
Once a week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we can do once a week. I mean, if I'm crowding your space, I can stop crowding your space.
I can stop crowding your space.
What do you need me to do, Jane?
What do you need me
I
to do?
I love you.
But I love you. This guy lighting a fire heart in her yard, talking about, this is me and you. Jane
forever.
And Jake. Love forever. It'll never end. You calling the police and he ain't getting it. Like, oh, man, you can't be taking that. Like, not with no men. Not with men.
This is slightly different, but I had a friend of mine telling me that her ex-boyfriend, her last ex-boyfriend, he was always asking her for money.
That's a whole nother issue.
And then they broke up and he still be asking her for money. That tickled me so bad. I'm like, first of all, sir.
That's a thug move right there.
Oh, my gosh.
Shout out to all the thugs in the world. that's a true thug move. Like, yeah, we ain't together. I'm definitely going to get this bread.
That is so terrible.
Yeah, I'm short. You know me. I need some paper.
Yeah, that made me laugh because I was like, now, come on now. Yeah, it already was bad enough you were doing it during the relationship. And I mean, not if you were in dire need, but just the excessive. Yeah. And it's like, so when are you going to find money for yourself that you make?
Why would I
Are you
that?
Taking any strides toward that, sir?
Why would I be striding towards that? You're here.
I'm going to help you in your time of need, but when are you no longer going to be in a time of need?
I can't tell you. I don't know. I'm
That's
here.
Too funny.
I just found myself here and I'm here now. So you should be my financial person, my benefactor. All right. So we are starting today with story time.
Story time.
We've talked about this before. I'll do the singing here. I'm David Ruffin. You're the
Temptations.
I have
a friend we have a common friend that said that she would do little jingles for us if we wanted. But I told her we're going to do it.
I don't even want to know who. Like I said, I'm doing the jingles round. I'm Eddie Kane.
Oh, Lord.
I'm David Ruffin.
Terrible.
Hilarious. The time I followed bad advice.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about one. This is what happened. This is so embarrassing. But it is what it is. There was a young lady at the church who I thought was nice. I liked her. And I ended up going on I wouldn't even call it a date, an outing with her sister. Mm. So because her sister was like, oh, you want to go on blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, I'll go. Because, I mean, it wasn't even a thing where like.
On a date? She asked you on a date?
I don't feel like it was necessarily a date. But we were both adults. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I guess I was an adult. So we were adults and we were going on an outing. I think we went bowling. We did go bowling. I don't remember if we got any food or not. But I was coming from the perspective like, oh, I'm in a pickle. And when you're young, generally you don't have the capacity to just be like, no.
Right.
Let's not go. And I didn't have anything vested in the other girl that I was fond of.
Right.
Or woman.
Her sister.
Right? Her sister.
Have mercy.
I know. But but then I'm coming, because I can't be like, oh, well, you know, I like your sister. I could have been like.
That's the thing. You could.
That's the problem,
but
right?
But we can't.
You can't do it. Just can't be like, no. I mean, I like, because I guess it was still kind of secretive. Like, I didn't say to her, like, hey, I like you.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, oh, but I like your sister. I'm trying to see, you know, see what's going on there. So I just said, cool, we'll go. So, of course, I talked to a family friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to me, what you should do. That's so funny. What you should do.
That's never a good start.
Never good. This is what you should do, right? You should text the girl that you're going on a date with. No, no, no. You should text the sister that you like and ask her about her sister to say, like, hey, I mean, you know, I don't know if she likes me or whatever, or I don't know what she's thinking. Like,
oh, no.
I'm supposed to say to her, like, oh, you know, I really kind of more so got a thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I said that. I can't remember. But the dumb part is, like, that's her sister.
Yeah.
Whatever I say to her, she's going to say to me. She's going to say to her.
Right.
And this was after we had went on, because we had went on a date, and then I got back. But I was like, I don't want her to think that I like her.
Oh, Lord.
Because I like.
This is a pickle for sure.
Because
oh
I like
God.
The sister. And that's exactly what happened. So I texted the sister, and I think I got a text from the girl I went on a date with saying, I don't like you, and I ain't on that. Just whatever. I ain't thinking about
you. Wait, so what did your text say?
To the girl I like?
Yeah.
I don't even remember. Something like that. Like, hey, I don't know how your sister is feeling. Like, I don't know if she really liked me. I'm not really on that with her. I don't think I told her because I liked her. I think I just told her that portion.
I thought, oh, okay. Yeah, that was more direct than I thought you were going to be.
I wasn't like.
So you told her sister you don't like her.
I didn't say I don't like her because we're cool. Like, we were friends.
Well, no, I don't mean as a person. I mean romantically.
Like romantically.
You texted her sister and said,
yes.
I am not into your sister, and I'm just making sure she's not into me.
Well, more or less. I don't think I said it like that, but
yeah,
just to the
bad.
Point where it's. For somebody, where she would know, like, oh, like, I don't want her to even go in that vein because, you know, I'm trying to pursue you. You know?
That was horrible advice.
Terrible advice. But I didn't know any better.
I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh.
Because I didn't know what to do. I'm like, dang, what do I do in this situation? Because I'm like, I don't want her.
Don't go on the date.
And this is the advice that I want to give to you, the audience. If you don't want to go on a date, and it's not that I didn't want to go on a date, because she's nice and we were friends.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to like blur the lines of what I actually wanted. Mm-hmm. But here's the actual advice is if you want somebody, tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the people that you want them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't want you back, accept it and move on.
Right.
All right, sir. Stalking is not a form of relationship. Okay? My goodness, you hiding in bushes. It's terrible, right? But that's the key. It's like if I would have just been mature enough to say to the girl that I like, hey, I like you. Let's see where this can go.
Mm-hmm.
We could have went from there because she could have been like, I ain't thinking about you. And she probably wasn't.
But that's such a slippery slope because. All right. So I'm sorry. Go back. So what was the response from the girl you actually went on a date with?
The response was after her sister told her what I texted her.
Mm-hmm.
She said, basically, I ain't thinking about you. I ain't on you like that. Blah, blah, blah. And she, of course, I'm saying that in text. That's what I was getting. I ain't on you like that. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, just like saying, I ain't trying to be your man and your woman. Or I ain't even thinking about you like that. It was just going out, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, this is terrible. This is awful now.
So, like, was the relationship strained after that? Or did y'all just stay regular
we
cordial?
We weren't that close.
Oh, okay.
So, and she kind of lives somewhere else. So, I don't know. I ain't seen her in years now.
Mercy.
She can still be mad.
I can't wait till we're done filming so you can tell me who these people are because I have no idea.
I don't know what you think I'm going to tell you.
Do I even know those people?
Maybe.
Oh, okay. Well, like just who they are, not personally. But
I don't know. We'll talk about
that's
it.
That's so funny.
Terrible advice.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that
terrible
was bad.
Terrible advice.
That was a bad one.
I was like... The advice definitely should have been just tell people the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Tell people how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, girl, I like you. Do you like me back? No? Oh, okay, I'll go cry now. But at least we're on the same page. And I don't have to be texting other people because I'm trying to get this other date behind me. Like,
and
nah,
not
that
just
wasn't
other
it.
People. Your sister.
Your sister. And I thought that was sound advice. Oh, man.
That is so funny. Like, oh, yeah, that is. That's hilarious. Somebody give you some bad advice and you'd be like, you know what? That is a good idea. You're so smart.
So smart. Man, I couldn't have thought of that.
No, we all been there.
Terrible.
Just thinking somebody was so wise and it's just like they just ran your life into the ground. Like, what is this?
My Lord. What in the world?
So I actually was going to tell a different story right now. But another one came to my mind, and I don't know if this was not bad advice as much as it was a bad advisor. And that is because, so in high school, my sophomore year, I was dating a boy, and I liked him because he was not typical. Like, he wasn't, like, obsessing over girls and stuff like that. He really wasn't showing any interest in girls at all. Mm-hmm. But he was a good student. He was a really, really excellent musician. And I'm into musicians.
Fast.
But, yeah, I'm into musicians. So, it's like, he's an excellent musician. You know, very just nice guy, really calm, cool, collected, just unbothered.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked him. So I actually pursued him. That is the only person I ever pursued. And, like was just trying to, I'm not that person. It wasn't like aggressive, but you know, I was dropping hints like, hey, you know, we should hang out sometime. Oh, I do have a phone, you know, stuff like that. Because we would be talking in school from time to time, like just a little short conversations. And I don't know, like I liked him. So I was just like, yeah, you can call me and we can continue this conversation. And he wasn't paying me no mind because he's just not that guy. I don't know what guy he is on today. Mm-hmm. But at that time, he was not that guy. So he was just like, oh, yeah, that'd be cool. But no, what's your number? No, exactly. It was so passive. So his best friend at the time, which I think they're still close friends now, who's also a musician. I went to a performing arts high school, creative and performing arts high school. I don't like to exclude the other creatives. But anyway, so this another guy who was also a musician and they were really tight. But this other guy, I had a crush on him since eighth grade. So now we're in 10th grade. But I never thought I had a shot with the other guy, that his best friend. But his best friend and I also like got along well because he's just a jokester and I'm a jokester. So mm-hmm. we used to always be joking around. But I never, ever thought that would have a chance of being something romantic because he was like one of those everybody wants me guys, mm-hmm. you know, especially in such a small school. It's like you're all recycling the same boyfriends. So, you know, he was like the everybody thinks I'm cute person. So anyway, I'm going to him like, can you drop some hints to your friend that I like him, you know, and see if he can actually like, because I think he likes me back, but I'm not sure because he's not clear, you know. So I'm like, I think he may like me, but could you just try to get him to call me or something? So he does. He encourages the friend, well, the one that I like, to, you know, yeah, she likes you. Like, let me make this clear. She likes you. So we wound up talking on the phone. We wound up, you know, officially being boyfriend and girlfriend. But I think that, so this middleman that I thought I could never get, I think he was just like making him do everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think within himself he would have ever done these things. And he did like me. Let's make that clear. He did like me, but he just wasn't the type who would be like, it was too fast for him. I don't think he was like even interested in girls to that degree yet.
Right.
You know, he just wasn't. That just wasn't what he needed in his life.
His music was his love.
That's it. His music was his love. That's all he needed. Like, he was, and it still is.
He was a phenomenal musician.
He still is. Yeah. Like, and he's pretty successful at this point.
Yes.
But, you know, so I think as much as he did like me, he just wasn't ready. And especially with me, because it's been marriage for me since I was two. I'd like, everything is romanticized in my mind. So I'm just like, oh, we're an item and we're going to get married and have little babies and do all these things. No matter who is, that's, and not saying I saw all of that with him because it was that deep, mm-hmm. but that's just what I wanted for my life. So I'm just saying I'm a serious dater.
Sure,
I'm not a casual dater from day one. So, you know, he definitely wasn't ready for all of that.
Nah.
Long story short, we get together and it's like we would talk on the phone at night and it would be amazing. Like, great conversation, super long, like you hang up, no, you hang up. And then we get to school and he wouldn't even look at me.
Not at all.
Like, we'd be in the hallway and he would just, oh, hey, and then just move on with his life.
Word.
And then like, I was like, well, should we hug?
Nah.
Should we maybe hug when we say goodbye or something like that? You know?
Nah.
So I'm talking to our mutual friend that I thought I couldn't have. And I'm telling him, like, well, could you maybe, like, talk to him and just, like, say, like, oh, well, maybe you can, like, hug her. You know, I'm not even trying to kiss. It's just maybe you can hug her. Maybe you can just hold her hand in the hallway.
Yes.
Or just have some sort of semblance of a relationship.
Something.
Maybe invite her on a date.
Please.
Not just talk on the phone at night.
Acknowledge her presence.
Acknowledge my presence. So he's, like, coaching him, kind of like a hitch situation. He's like coaching him and it's like I'm talking, but then it turned into I'm on the phone with mutual friend all the time.
Yes.
And now mutual friend and I are kiki and just ha ha ha, and we have great chemistry.
Yes.
So now mutual friend is starting to like me.
Of course he is.
And it got weird toward the end because now mutual friend is giving us both advice.
Yes.
Like, oh, well, you need to do this for her. And he's telling me, well, why don't you try to blah, 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 blah. And he's like trying to be a matchmaker. It ultimately was just not working out. Like, we went to the movies one time and he wouldn't look at me. He literally sat straight ahead and I was over here and he just, that's the best I could get. So yeah, like I wind up telling mutual friend, like, I think I got to break it off. So, cause like, it's just not good. And it was short. It was like a month, but I was like, yeah, I think I got to break it off. As much as I like him, like, it's just, he's a good friend.
Yes.
Like, this isn't going to be romantic and I need romance. So this
romance
isn't going to work. So, I'm like, but how do I do it? Like, I don't want to hurt his feelings and da, 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 da. So he's just like, oh, well, no, don't do that though. Cause he actually really does like you. Like, don't break up with him. And I'm like, but I don't like it, you know? So, so yeah, but eventually I finally did break up with him. And weirdest thing is his response was, well, what can I do to fix it? Like, he literally is like, oh, but I mean, but no, I can try harder. Like, I can blah, blah, blah. And it was so weird. He had like dual personalities where, like, on the phone, he can talk like that. Right. And in person, you don't even see me.
That's very odd.
So I think it was just like, I don't know, he was nervous and just couldn't, like, on the phone, it's like, you're not here, so I can
be myself.
Be myself, but in your presence, I'm like freezing
it's too
up.
Too much. Can't do it.
I don't know what was going on, but I was just like, no, I mean, and I'm not good at that. Like, I'm very, like, nice and, like, gentle and everything. So he almost talked me out of it. But I was just like, no, I think we really should. But then what was bad was me and mutual friend, I called him after we broke up. And immediately in that conversation, his whole tone changed. And now it's like he's very flirty and clear on, like, oh, well, there's somebody else out there for you who will do those things.
Teenagers.
And it's like he was trying to creep in or whatever. And it made me look back and be like, I should have never been talking to you about this guy, because I don't know if you were helping or hindering at this point. Or
both.
Like,
he's helping and hindering.
Right. I'm like, this just, and now if me and you wind up getting together, it's like, how is he going to feel about that?
Correct.
Mind you, I had a crush on this guy since eighth grade, and now I'm just finding out he has a crush on me.
Yes.
And I'm like, Lord, pinch, like, am I alive? Oh my God, he likes me.
Yes, forget this other guy. Who cares?
Right. It's just like, and now what am I supposed to pass the opportunity in my mind of a lifetime up because they're besties and I don't want to be mean? Because that's very awkward to date your best friend now after you just pleaded with me.
Terrible.
And you probably don't even know we've been on the phone as much as we have been.
Terrible. I beseeched you.
Yeah, it was crazy. But I guess the moral of that story in my mind is that, especially in relationships, first of all, don't be getting relationship advice and, like, sharing your relationship struggles with the opposite gender. Mm, yeah. I don't think that that's ever appropriate, you know, whether they're married or in a relationship. Because I think he was dating somebody while I was dating our friend.
Yeah, more than likely.
So, you know, and I think that's why I was thinking. And plus, like I said, I just never thought in a million years that he would actually like me. So I had already kind of put that in the back of my mind as like, oh, yeah, you're real cute, but that's not going to, you know, in my mind, it wasn't that because it wasn't never going to be that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's ever appropriate.
Well, I would give the caveat. I mean, if they're family.
Well, sure, someone
different.
You can't date. Yeah.
Someone who is undateable.
Yes.
Is good, because they could give sound advice. And even still, they may not be giving sound advice.
Mm-hmm.
Could be like, oh, this is what I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads us to the word of the week, advice.
Yes.
All right. And definition is guidance or recommendations offered with regard to prudent future actions.
Mm-hmm.
Prudent is in regard to one's well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about it.
I think prudent also means, like, if you're a prude, you're like a do-gooder, like you're somebody who does the right thing.
Probably all of the same prefix, derivative.
Yeah.
Who do you trust to give you good advice?
Yeah, I just did a lot of talking. Who do you trust to give you good advice?
It depends on the advice. It actually depends specifically.
That's good.
Right. Because my father, spiritual advice, I trust my father.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust people who are strong in the faith, whose opinions I can maybe even trust more than my own, based off of their experience and time in the Word with God and being saved. And I'm like, okay, I can trust you with these spiritual things, especially if it's like a heavy spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that has nothing to do with business.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have anything to do with business.
Right.
Doesn't have nothing to do with music.
Right.
Who do you trust? I trust people to give good advice who are in the space that I need advice to give.
And who are successful in that space, right?
Well, success, I won't even say successful, because somebody who's been divorced 4 times can still give me marriage advice.
Sure.
But it just may not be marriage advice on how to make it work.
Right. It may just be how to prevent divorce.
Right. And even still, he could be saying, this is how you make it work, based off of him not making it. And I'm saying him. It could be whoever.
Right.
But based off of how it didn't work for them.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When you say, when a guy who's been divorced 4 times say, hey, you know how you make it work? You spend time with your wife.
Right.
I can't say, you're divorced. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense. But I can derive that, oh, he's been divorced 4 times. He probably wasn't spending time with his wife.
Right.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good stuff.
So for me, definitely, so whoever's in that actual space to give me advice. We're even here just to, you know, just for the fact that I would have never done or even thought to do this podcast if we didn't feel as if we actually have a strong marriage.
Right, right.
One that is working.
Right, absolutely. Right?
That's actually the purpose for why we even started. It's like, hey, we have a good marriage. Like, people are struggling out here to stay married,
mm-hmm.
and we're not struggling with that at all.
That's true,
so
yeah.
So something we're doing must be right, so, you know.
Especially as young,
right.
younger, I mean, we ain't young, but younger people.
Yeah,
like,
younger people.
You know, at 31.
Right.
You know, it's like, you don't see that so much. And people that got married young, that it didn't. Go mm-hmm. so horribly where we've been itching to get divorced.
You're right.
No, I agree. Who do I trust to give me good advice? I agree that it depends on the space. Mm-hmm. So my childhood best friend, Autumn, she just has, yes, like God has just blessed her to be one of those people who has a lot of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely trust her with advice on how to interact with people. In like hard situations, like if I'm like in a, you know, like if I'm having a hard time in any type of relationship, not just a marital relationship, but it could be like any type of relationship or friendship or whatever, or I'm just in a pickle,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I'm in a pickle, it's her. And then my mom, I definitely like my mom, she just has always dropped these great nuggets of wisdom. My mom is so good for like just like giving you these very memorable phrases like waste not, want not, like that type of stuff. It's yeah. like she just has them in her back pocket
ready. Pocket.
Right. And just, well, you know, it just da 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 da, and they rhyme and they're short and you can hold on to it. And my mom has given me so many of those nuggets
mm-hmm.
throughout my life. So I don't think I go to my mom for advice that much. But my mom gives me advice in passing
yeah.
that I can hold on to. And then I think when it comes to spiritual things, I would say your mom. Because your mom has a way of making things. She makes the Bible so applicable and plain,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think she just lives it out in a very practical way. And she has this great, I think with her, it's more like when it comes to like, my areas of weakness
mm-hmm.
as far as like I'm not a very innately anyway, the Lord has helped me a lot in this in these areas, but innately, like just naturally, I'm not like inclined to be confrontational
mm-hmm.
and not all confrontation is bad confrontation.
Right.
You know, it's not, it doesn't always have to be, it's not always mean.
Right.
It's not always negative. Sometimes there's just things that you need to address with people and yeah. things that you can't allow to continue.
Absolutely.
That you need to address, you know, and your mom is great with like, you know, okay.
Addressing.
Yeah, she's great with addressing. However, you remember we were talking at their house recently and she was telling us about because my father-in-law is a pastor and she's first lady, of course. And a lady in the church had an issue with a change that your dad had made in the church.
Right.
And the way that she handled it, that's my best example of what I mean about her.
Mm-hmm.
The way that she handled it, she said, well, you know, what we're going to do is me and you are going to pray that if God didn't want us to make that change, he will make that clear to pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And if pastor does not, if the Lord doesn't move on his heart to change it back,
mm-hmm.
then that means
we'll be okay with that.
We're going to be all right with that.
Right.
That was so wise. Like she's like a Solomon in that way
that
where like she just, you know, with the cutting the baby in half,
that was,
you know,
wise.
Yeah. Like good she's
job.
Just good with that type of stuff. But
yeah,
but she like, yeah, she's just very good at making the Bible very applicable and practical to life.
Right.
Yeah.
Excellent. So what is the best marriage advice you've ever received?
To remember why, like remember the beginning.
Was that my advice to you?
You've definitely said it a lot, but I've heard it from other places too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I think that was more of a just a gleaning. I don't remember a specific day that a person said,
right.
But I think that's the best thing I've gleaned.
Mm-hmm. Literally. 'Cause it doesn't matter what we're going through. And it doesn't necessarily have to be ups and downs. If there's ever moments where we're not really getting along in a slight way, like all I have to do is think back to when we first got together
mm-hmm.
and who you were and just how sweet you were and just how precious you were. You're, you know, you're still precious, but you're even more precious as a kid. You're just like, oh, it's this sweet little woman right. over there with this, you know, very nice body. but just precious. And I think of back, like, you realize, like, all the things we went through to get here, it's like, this doesn't even matter.
Right. Really,
every time. And I'm just like, I just think back and I just smile. I say, that's my baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're just my baby. But for me, I would have to say that is the best marriage advice is that your spouse is not your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know specifically the first time I heard that. And I say that because I've said that to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I said it to our Sadia, and she said it back to me, said, we always remember that. We put it up on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Your spouse is not your enemy. I was like, oh, I didn't even remember saying it to
mm-hmm.
you. But wow. I remember Bill Tuff said it at the marriage workshop that they had before we were even married.
Oh, I remember that.
Right, in Pensgrove.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right before they got the new church.
Yeah, wow. Right?
And he said, your spouse is not your enemy. And I just thought about it. I was like, it seems like an obvious thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is when life's issues come in and when you have disagreements, you start looking at them as if they're not actually on your team.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we're actually a team. If mm-hmm. she's arguing with you about something, she's not coming from the point of being your enemy. She's coming from the point of actually being your friend.
Yeah.
Like the way a friend would argue and the way somebody you really aren't friends with or doesn't have good intentions for you are, how they would argue at you and how your friend would, is a completely different space.
That's so true.
Because it makes it 100 times more easy for you to receive somebody who's arguing
who
with
you
or trying to correct you
or
disagreeing with you, and you know they have your best interest at heart. Like mm-hmm. this is literally your wife. She said, hey, I love you so much that I'm willing to spend the rest of my life with you specifically. Mm. I will forego my own ambitions,
mm-hmm.
my own whatever, for the sake of our family, for the sake of you, for the sake of whatever is best for us together. I will forego it.
Right.
And I will do it with you. So why am I arguing with you like this? It's because this is important.
Mm-hmm.
Or what you're doing threatens that. That's
right.
an even bigger thing.
Right.
This is a person who is your friend. And if they're arguing with you about what you're doing, it's like what you're doing is threatening our relationship. To me,
right,
it's probably not to you, which is why you're doing it. But to me, this is a problem.
Right.
And I am not your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm your friend. So speak with me like you would a friend. Accept
right.
what I'm saying it because you know where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Number three. What is the best life advice you've ever received?
Yeah. The best life advice was actually from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when I got an understanding of, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives it freely.
Jimmy.
I'm sorry.
James.
Oh yes. Yeah. The book of James is a good book.
He has bars.
bars.
Like, he got bars.
No, he really does. Yes. And it's a short one too. You
six
can read
chapters,
through that
right?
thing
yeah.
and just keep reading it. Cause it's so good. Yes. But yeah, the day I remember I was on the highway, and I know exactly where I was on the highway, and I was praying, and I felt led to just pray the Lord's Prayer. And it just was so interesting to me because it was vague.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blanket prayer.
Right.
You know, you're not praying for, and they came to him and said, Father, how do we pray? Well, not Father. They said, you know, Master,
yeah.
how do we pray? Teach us how to pray. And he says, when you pray like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gives an example of a blanket prayer. Not Lord and Mary Magdalene got seven demons in her, Lord, and I need you to get them out in the name.
In the name.
You know, it ain't like he wasn't listing stuff.
Nah.
It was just our Father who art in heaven.
Holy
may your
you.
Name be kept holy. That's mm-hmm. that's the translation I've read of hallowed be thy name, because I always wanted to know what that mean. May your name be kept holy. Your kingdom come. Mm-hmm. Come back as soon as possible, please.
My Lord.
Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done. Mm-hmm. Boom. Boom.
That's it.
Like all those specifics that fall under may your will be done,
mm-hmm.
you know, but he's asking for your will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We just need food and some water, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, just supply our needs.
Yes.
You know, so we want your will to be done. We want you to supply our needs. You know, daily bread, forgive us our trespasses. Help us to forgive others and lead us not into temptation,
mm-hmm.
but deliver us from evil. Keep us from sin. You know, deliver us from sin. for thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. Amen. And I was praying the Lord's Prayer, and then I was like, but that thy will be done part, I was like, that's hard for me. I was at a time in my life where like I had a lot of choices to make, and I felt like I was at a crossroads of just, I was in my early 20s, and I'm like, but this is a big decision.
Yeah.
You know, you graduate high school and they're like, go to college and decide what you're going to do with the rest of your life. That is not a light thing. You know, and they rush you to make, a lot of people rush you to make that decision.
Yeah.
Of just like, okay, figure out your whole life trajectory. Like, what are you going to be doing with your life? And it's like, am I stuck in this? Like, am I just, do I have to commit to it? And you're spending thousands of dollars on it. And like all these things, you know, and I was so overwhelmed because I had already gone to a few schools and, you know, like things were just not, and I'm like, I'm wasting money, I'm wasting time, you know, and just that adult clock became such a reality to me of just like, okay, like, whoa, you know, and I'm like, God, I don't want to keep failing at everything. Like, I don't want to keep starting and stopping and not finishing and all of that. Like, I want to do something that's going to stick and go like start my life.
Right.
You know, and I'm like all anxious and everything. I struggle with anxiety. That is like one of my flaws, you know, and I'm just like, well, Lord, how do I know what your will is? You know, I want to pray according to your will. I want to walk in your will. But how do I know what the heck it is? You know, and it's like he just dropped the verse. You know how you read the Bible your whole life in church when you grow up in church, that is, if you've had that experience, and it's like you've heard this. And then that moment that it clicks for you, it's like he literally just said to me, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask me and I will freely give it to him. Mm-hmm. So he's like, your problem is that you're asking me for wisdom and then you're walking around wondering if you have some.
Right.
That's your problem.
Yes.
Like literally ask me for wisdom and then go do stuff. Because what's happening is you're still worrying about like, oh, I'm inadequate. You're looking at you and not at me.
Right.
I'm inadequate. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't have the strength to get it done. And he's like, if you ask me for wisdom and then I am guiding you in wisdom just throughout your day, throughout your life.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to wonder if I did that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Move.
Go make it happen.
Go do it.
Yes, I'm you with
know?
You.
Go do it. I'm with you. And you know when you're quenching the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You feel that tension in you, you know? And he's like, you asked me for it. I gave it to you. Now go ahead and do some things. Don't sit here stagnant.
Right.
Not doing jack because you're so worried about if it's gonna, if you know what you're doing or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to stop.
It's excellent. I would say, because, and this is apart from spiritual advice, even though spiritual advice is the best, literally the fact that Jesus Christ is your savior and that he died for your sins because your sins were so great that literally only God and his blood could shed.
Amen.
And that would be enough to pay for the sin so that we could be reconciled back to God. That's literally the best advice anybody could ever give you in life.
Yeah.
Is that, oh, Lord, love me. Let me yield my life to him.
Let me love him back.
Let me love him back. That's all it is. That's all, you know, being saved is. It's like, oh, he loved me. Okay, I'm going to love him back.
Amen.
Now, what that entails is a lot of things. Is becoming a disciple is a disciplined Christian, a disciplined person. It's like you don't live to do anything you want. It's literally the exact opposite. I have parameters. I have boundaries. I have specific things that I need to do. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, best advice, I think this is threefold advice.
Okay.
And I was sitting there thinking, here's the first advice. This is advice from Dame Dash. And it may not be from him, but it's who I heard it from. Never take advice from someone who has not been in that same situation before.
Mm.
And I alluded to that earlier. It's like, it could be right. Well, and I'll give the caveat of sometimes people who are spiritual and are prophetic and are just more wise than you.
True.
They can look up and see, oh, I know the actual issue that you're having here. But when it comes to very specific situations, like I said, in business, like here we have a podcast. My scope of giving podcast advice is the scope of however many episodes we've done at this point.
Right.
Whereas David Shands, the young man who helped us, you know, who at least partly inspired me to even do it, he can give a vast, you know, a vast thing when it comes to musicianship. I can give you a deep, in-depth reason why, how to play the piano, how to do such. And somebody who doesn't play, I don't care how you feel. Oh, I love music. What does that have to do with anything? You cannot give me advice on how to play the piano.
Absolutely.
You don't know how to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That would be number one. Don't take that advice. It is what it is. Number two, probably be from my Uncle Rick.
Mm-hmm.
And any cousin would laugh at this. And this is very sound advice. If you plant strawberries, you get strawberries. Mm. And that really can sum it up. I think he would say, if you plant onions, you get onions. Mm-hmm. You should never go looking for onions when you planted strawberries.
Wow.
That's actually biblical advice. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap.
Right.
And the point he was getting us to see is like, if you're doing good, there is no possible way for that good not to keep coming back to you.
That's so true.
It's impossible because it's literally God's law.
Mm-hmm.
The world would call it karma or the universe.
Right.
God said, this is my law.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever you do will come back to you, mm-hmm. good or bad. And he also says, you sow the wind, reap the whirlwind.
Yeah.
You sow a little bitty piece of corn, you grow a stalk.
Wow.
So that's good or bad. You doing bad stuff? All right. Keep playing.
Wow. You're
gonna find yourself in jail.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And hopefully for a time which you can get out reasonably. But you don't want to be doing that. Third advice would probably be Miles Monroe, which is actually spiritual as well. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
Yeah.
That's Proverbs. I want to say, I ain't going to say it's in Proverbs because I don't want to mess it up. But as you think in your heart, so are you.
Mm-hmm.
Not so will you be, but so are you.
Yeah.
It's who you really think you are is who you are. And you can't get around that either.
Mm-mm.
The way we think about ourselves, and so many people have, like, you know, low self-esteem and they're distressed and they have anxiety, they have fears about that. It's like, literally, if you felt like you were courageous, you would be.
That's true.
Or if you felt like you weren't defeated, you would not be.
Wow.
But you feel like you are, therefore you are. The world says, I think, therefore I am. That's just taken from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in your heart. You can have a thought, but how you really think about in your heart and in the essence of who you really are will determine who you really are.
That's deep, because that relates to so much, not just who you see yourself as.
Right.
How you see yourself, but also just like your, like when we were talking about that baggage, your ideals.
Yes.
And like those things that you're holding on to that you may not even realize are beliefs.
Like,
and
like,
paradigms.
Yes, like literally the I literally have told so many people, my name is Ron Corsi, I bring joy and peace.
Right.
I literally believe that.
No, he really does.
I literally believe that in my heart.
Amen.
And I tell people, I bring joy and peace. Anytime I'm around, you'll always feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And people always feel better. And even if I don't say that to them, because I literally believe that.
And I wonder how long you've believed that, because I told you that what drew me to you
mm-hmm.
when I met you was that I was super nervous and I'm in a room full of strangers, literally a room full of strangers. Yeah. I only know Dave Adams.
Right.
I don't know nobody else in here.
Don't even know him that
and
good.
Y'all are way more experienced than I am.
Right.
I'm like a novice
mm-hmm.
showing up with these like renowned. I play for Lauryn Hill. I play for The Roots.
Shout
I play
out
for
to Jay Rosado.
Yeah, like I play for all these crazy stuff. Out people
yes.
and here I come, so I wrote a song and it goes like this, you know,
here it goes.
You know, and I'm trying to put on a confident facade,
right,
because I want to be taken seriously,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't want to embarrass myself.
Oh, you did good.
You know, and then we take a break and I came and sat on the bench next to Ron.
Yeah.
On the piano bench. It's not that wide. And I just met this guy, and not really, because I introduced myself to the room, not
right.
to Ron.
That is true.
It's not like he and I had a personal exchange before this. We hadn't. Our first personal exchange was them going on break, and he stayed in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat on the piano bench next to him, all in his personal space, and was like, I'm so nervous. Mm-hmm. And like, but for some reason, I was just like, I need to sit next to you because I feel better right here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, who knows what the Lord was doing?
Well, he knows what he's doing.
You know, he knows my spirit was just bearing witness with your spirit. But like, seriously, like that has been a thing for me forever, for as long as I've known you, is that like, okay, if Ron is here, I feel better. Like,
amen.
I feel more confident and at peace when you're here. Mm-hmm. And when you're not, I'm just like, oh, gosh. Like, I'm way more frazzled.
Right. Poor thing. But, yeah. But I believe it in my heart.
Wow.
So it's easy for me to be that way. I'm not trying to be that way.
Right.
I just am that way.
Exactly. Wow. That's so crazy.
Yeah. So that's excellent. Let's look in the book. Proverbs 12. I feel like I'm taking over all the stuff. I've been reading all of it.
That's fine.
Is that okay?
I've done enough talking.
Oh, okay. Look in the book. Okay. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. and Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety.
Yeah.
And I was literally thinking about this. I was looking it up because I remember reading about this effect, and it's called the Dunning-Kruger effect. And I've shared this with you. This is the Dunning-Kruger effect. It is a cognitive bias whereby people with low ability experience or people with low ability, expertise, or experience regarding a certain type of task or area of knowledge tend to overestimate their ability or knowledge. Right? And some researchers also include in their definition the opposite effect for high performers, their tendency to underestimate their skills.
Wow.
Right? And that's like,
that's like, hilarious.
It's very funny. Right? Man. Because when you start looking at people and they have all of this, like, man, yeah, I know what to do. And it's just like,
pride comes before fall.
It's like, listen, it's literally saying one of the tendencies or kind of warning signs you can tell by somebody who's a low performer is being way overconfident about something that they shouldn't be. And it's not talking about, like, you know, I'm a pianist. I've been playing since I was 8. You know, that's 25 years or so, almost 25 years. It's like me being super confident on how to play Mary Had a Little Lamb or any song that I know is different than if I say, like, cool, this is a camera that we're looking at. Yeah, I know how to dismantle the camera, put it back together. It's just like, what makes you so confident about that?
Right.
I understand how things work. It's just like, why would you think that?
No.
Whereas people who are higher performing people understand their limitations more.
Wow.
People who are high performers, and even in other areas, you're a high performer, so you understand the process of not knowing anything at all to knowing a lot about it, to the point where now I would never walk over and say, yeah, I know how to do that camera, and I may as well be able to. But I would never come from that. I would literally say, that's somebody else's thing.
Yeah.
I'm really unsure about doing it. I'm not even comfortable doing it.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. No, I it just keeps ringing in my head. First of all, Proverbs is known to be the book of wisdom.
Correct.
You know, it was Solomon, right, giving words of advice to his son.
Was it to his son?
Well, I know Proverbs 31. He said, like, listen to me, Lemuel.
Right. Well, blah, 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 blah. For everybody. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is for everybody. I don't remember. I know Proverbs 31, he was talking to his son. Now, I'm no theologian. Y'all can fact check me. I'm not saying. Please open your word for yourself. But all I know is he was like intentionally trying to give a bunch of wisdom. And this is the man who God asked him, what do you want?
Right.
In general, this would be like rubbing a bottle and a genie comes out and he's like, you have one wish. And you say, give me wisdom. Right. Which is deep in itself.
It is deep.
You know, I'm going to let that just, that's a mic drop. But all he asked for was wisdom. That's how important wisdom is.
Yeah.
You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of
knowledge.
Knowledge. And yes. Knowledge of the Holy One is the beginning of wisdom. Right.
I've never heard that portion of the scripture.
I'm going to look it up. Anyway. Anyway, and all you're getting, get understanding.
That's for sure.
You know, in everything that you get. But anyway, so Solomon prays for wisdom, and then there's a book in the Bible written by the man who prayed for wisdom.
Yes.
And the Lord granted that to him, so it's like we should hear him out.
Right. And you know what? Here's the I'm not to cut you.
You're fine. Go ahead.
Is that a lot of the world's advice literally came from him.
Mm-hmm.
And we've heard it so much that now it's common knowledge. We're not realizing this was thousands of years ago, back when people were, you know, they didn't even have toilets. Like, there is no, like, what we think is regular advice. Like, oh, you should listen to advice. This is when people lived in what we would consider wilderness sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And people could just run up and just, you know, take over your whole little family tent. You got to fight people. There's no police. There's no... Like, there's government in certain ways, but it's just not how it is today.
Right.
So people look back and say, oh, well, that's kind of obvious. It's like, no, this was 4,000 years ago when he said this. It's like, let's get it in perspective.
We're laying a foundation here. We're all just figuring this out right now.
Yeah.
No, it's Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
And the knowledge of the holy is understanding.
Yes.
So just your holy reverence for God, your recognition of God being God. Mm-hmm. And making him Lord of your life, the fear of the Lord,
yes,
is the beginning of wisdom. That's the first thing you need to be wise, is have the Lord and, yeah, and put him in his proper place in your heart and in your
That's
mind.
A fact.
And then the knowledge of the holy, like actually getting to know his ways and his will, yeah, is understanding. Like, yeah, so it's like we want to know him and then we want to understand him and then we want to be like him. Like, yeah,
that's it,
you know, but anyway, you know, wisdom is so important, and Proverbs is like a whole book of a bunch of wisdom. And it's saying, if you don't have guidance, you're going to fall. Yeah. And it says, in an abundance of counselors, there is safety.
Right.
You know, like you want to, that's something we should actually be purposefully looking for. And to relate that to marriage, we should purposefully be looking for successful marriages.
Right.
And like you said, people can have pretty good advice, even if they've never been married, even if they're divorced, even if they're a young couple, they only been married for 2 years, 5 years, mm-hmm, or less than you, whatever. But you want to have those couples that are seasoned,
yeah,
around you.
By all means.
That are, you know, that are going to pour into you and say, you know what, don't do that. Or you know what, you should do this. Or you know what, how, why our marriage lasted so long or whatever. Like, and all you're getting, get understanding.
Yeah.
Like, you should, yeah, be seeking. And there's so much, we're in the information age now, mm-hmm, you know, where like now everything at our fingertips, like, oh yeah, where is that found? And I just typed it in Proverbs 9:10. Right. Before, I would have had to take out my Bible and comb through every proverb to find it. Like, we're in the information age now because of technology.
Right.
So there's so much available to us, and we should be purposefully seeking that, but not only sorting it out in our own mind.
That, and I'm literally like, I want to take the verse and read it backwards,
mm-hmm,
where it says, listen, because this is saying the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. It's like, if you like listen to advice, man, that would make you actually wise.
Mm-hmm.
But you being right in your own eyes, you're a fool.
Mm.
Like, if you literally have to find, if you can't find nobody to agree with you.
Yeah, you should look at you.
You're probably wrong. Like, that's what it is. It's like you would be foolish to think that you're right in your own eyes would just be enough. Like, yeah, I know I'm right. It's like, no, other people, like, let people weigh in.
Yeah.
Let them weigh in.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you try the spirit by the spirit, and you weigh it out against the word of God.
Yeah.
You know, and you pray for wisdom.
Absolutely.
So that you can sort through all of it. My mom would say, because her little nuggets, eat the meat, spit out the bones. That's what you do. You eat the meat, bone you spit spitting. Out the bones.
I'm in there bone spitting.
Yeah, because it's going to be some bones in there because we're human.
Yes.
You know, ain't no bones in the Bible, but it's going to be some bones in the advice you're getting from people.
Mm-hmm.
But and that's not only things that are wrong. Sometimes it's stuff that's not applicable to you, because we were just talking yesterday about, yeah, how people have different circumstances, you know, or whatever, that may make that work for them, but not for you. You know, so, yeah.
All right. Excellent. Four tips for choosing good advisors and thereby giving you good advice. Number one, is this advisor a believer?
Mm-hmm.
This is for believers and non-believers. People who are actual believers in Jesus Christ put their own will underneath God's.
Amen.
Actual believers, not people who are just like, yeah, I'm a Christian, and then they just go and live however they want to live.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are fooling themselves. But people who say, I'm a believer and follower of Christ, so I'm going to sacrifice what I would want to do because, mm-hmm, God has said I shouldn't do that. These are people who can give you sound advice, not only because they feel like they have it, but because Christ requires that they give sound advice.
Amen.
All right. And that sound advice can range from a million things. It doesn't matter what you're doing, except for things that are very specific. You,
mm-hmm,
know, we're not talking about advice on like HVAC systems.
Right.
But we're talking about like your marriage.
Yes.
Like your marriage. People can give you sound advice on your marriage. The fact that you live for your spouse. Really, you live for God,
mm-hmm,
and you honor your spouse as more important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Your body is not your own. Your body is your spouse's.
Right.
Whereas someone who is not a believer would say, get yours.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you let that whoever do whatever to you. Don't, mm-hmm, you let that man, you know, make all the money and you don't have a bunch of money on the side just in case he wants to leave you. That's not godly advice.
Right.
The godly advice is that you should be trusting each other,
mm-hmm,
and you actually shouldn't have money secrets or secrets that you shouldn't be holding back anything.
Yeah.
But if you have a believer, someone who is following Christ Jesus, they will always get prayerfully that they know they should be giving you sound advice regardless of who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good stuff.
I do it all the time. They don't necessarily know I'm doing it because I follow Christ. Some of them do. Some of them don't. I'm just giving advice.
Yeah.
Like, this is good advice.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I know somebody did something to you, but hey, you shouldn't repay evil for evil.
Right.
That's right out the Bible. They don't know that. They just think, like, well, because the fact of the matter is, you repaying evil does not solve the problem.
It does not.
I was like,
and the Bible actually says it'll heap hot coals on their head for you to continue to be nice to them.
Right.
It's true. So actually, it's kind of revenge.
Well, I've heard somebody say it'll melt their heart. It could be.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'm not sure what it necessarily means.
Wow. Well, yeah, that's worth more.
Yeah.
Digging.
Number two. Is there a scripture that can support their advice?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of goes right back. And that goes even still, especially if you're a non-believer and a follower of Christ and somebody who is one, they should be giving you advice that you can back up by scripture.
Amen. And they should be intentionally backing it up by scripture themselves.
That helps.
Typically, they will say, oh, well, the Bible says blah, 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 and then give it to you in an applicable way.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And that goes for pastors
specifically
and teachers, too. I know people who... Oh, yeah, well, you know, pastor said, or, oh, you know, deacon said, or, oh, the Sunday school teacher said. Okay, I'm sorry, I have to tell a brief story.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I was teaching in a VBS class a few years back. This is why we're saying, like, make sure you read your word for yourself and make sure that what people are saying lines up with the word of God and that they aren't putting God's name on their own stuff. Because 'cause people will go around saying, oh, well, the Bible says, or, oh, God said. And there's like literally phrases in American language that people say, oh, yeah, the Bible says cleanliness is next to godliness. That is not in the Bible. You should be clean. Praise the Lord.
It just don't say that.
But it don't say that in the Bible. You know, you got to read the word for yourself and check on that stuff, man.
It don't say that in the Bible?
No. I think I'm pretty, you can look it up, but I'm pretty sure I looked it up before and it's not in the Bible.
It does talk about cleanliness.
But I don't think that phrasing. But there's plenty of little phrases that we go around saying that we're just like, oh, yeah, ain't that in the Bible? No, it is not.
Hilarious.
Or be taken out of context. But anyway... So I'm in this VBS. I'm teaching a middle school class, and I was helping out at a church we used to go to. We had moved on, but they had asked me to come back and help. And there was another lady from another church, not that church, that they asked to be my assistant. But because I was in my early 20s at the time, early to mid 20s, and the lady that was supposed to be my helper was in like her 60s, if I could take a guess, 60s or 70s-ish looking to me. She automatically took the role of like overseer, you know, because a lot of older people, it's like they can't be under, you know, an assistant to this little girl in her 20s, you know.
Yeah.
So she automatically was just like, you know, I'm evangelist, blah, blah, blah. Such and this is Chelsea. But yeah, so she's like, all right, so I'm thinking what I'm going to do is I'll teach the lessons on these 3 days and you can teach it on this day. And then on the last day, we'll do like a review and give them prizes and stuff if they remember stuff. So she gave me 1 day to teach and gave herself 3 days to teach. And I'm like, I didn't even know you were supposed to be teaching, girl, but all right. And I just let her do it. I was like, whatever. So the 1 day I'm supposed to teach, we get to a point in the lesson where we're talking about how, like, the Bible says we don't grieve as those who have no hope when we lose loved ones. And she and, you know, because we'll see them again in heaven. And one of the little girls in the class was saying, like, oh, yeah, because I lost my grandma. And she had just lost her grandma. And she was saying that, like, yeah, my family's been telling me, like, I'm going to see her in heaven because she believed in Jesus and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, and that's our hope. We don't grieve, like, if they're in Christ, we don't grieve, like, oh, they're gone forever. Like, you'll hear people say that, like, and now I'll never see them again. Not true. If they're in Christ, and if you're in Christ, not true. We don't grieve as those who have no hope. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but so this lady chimes in and says, and kids, this is why you need to read your Bible for yourself and be careful what you let people say to you, because that is not correct. When we get to heaven, we are not going to recognize each other. We're going to have glorified bodies and we're not going to really have the bodies that we're used to seeing. We're just going to be spirits and we're going to be floating around up there and we're not going to know each other. Like, our identity is gone, basically. Like, we're this new spirit thing that's floating around and who knows what our body is, what is a body anymore and all of that. And so she and I very, very briefly, I tried to, but unfortunately, like, I didn't have the time because we were getting to the end, or the ammo. Like, I didn't have a signal on my phone to pull up the scriptures I needed. And this is why you got to be ready. You got to really get the word in you, because, you know, that way you're ready to give an answer for what you believe, mm-hmm. you know, instead of always having to hold on. Where is that? And what does it say? Like, you really should be trying to, like, get as much word in you as you can so you can spew it out. But, you know, but we went back and forth a little bit. And I think that the kids, first of all, I trust that the Lord, I prayed about it, that the Lord revealed to them what was true. And I reiterated, I said, you know what, y'all, she's right. Make sure y'all go home and read your Bible. You know, go home and read it for yourself so that you can see what the Bible says. Yeah. And I had to leave it at that, because I'm like, I don't have time. And I'm not also not going to argue with this older woman in front of these kids,
yeah.
you know, but like, I anyway, that goes back to what I was saying, that I have a friend that she grew up under some pretty tricky doctrine, but she would just, oh, but they were like, oh, the pastor said, and I noticed too that she'll pull up videos on YouTube and it'll be any church, any church, any preacher, any denomination, any doctrine, and just, oh yeah, but yeah, I heard a real good sermon. It was pastor such and such. Just because that man's title is pastor such and such does not mean that he is teaching true doctrine. So you have to be very careful about that.
Yes. Have you seen the fruit of following their advice in their lives or the lives of others?
Yeah.
That that almost goes without saying. Mm-hmm. But you do have to be careful, just because, and that goes really right back to what you just said. Just because someone has a position
mm-hmm.
does not necessarily make them an advice giver.
Right.
I mean, I've been in church recently with a husband and wife that didn't talk.
Yeah.
You'd be hard pressed to see them have a conversation. Mm-hmm. They live together.
Wow. Yeah.
Never seen them talk. I would not be taking any advice from either of them talking about communication.
And that's what's so tricky about, like, we've been together for 50 years, so this is our marriage advice, but hold on.
It's like, yeah, that's okay. I don't want that marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you have to, let's weigh the options here. So, and it can be hard these days because a healthy marriage in a world's perspective could be different from the church.
Right.
But a church perspective of a healthy marriage is one that looks like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looks like, oh, I can tell those people love God because of how they're loving each other.
Right.
That's what it actually looks like. So don't just look for someone who is together still. Like, oh, they've been together 30 years. That's cool. I have a family member that was together with their wife for, you know, I think maybe 30 years, and they divorced.
Yep.
So looking for an example that is people who are loving each other with the love of Christ,
right.
meaning it's a self-sacrificing love, and we're giving and we're showing, and it's evident.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to you to tell me, like, well, you know, it's different out here when
right.
you see us than it is when it's like, no, I need to see it here.
Yeah.
Don't try to tell me what y'all do in private
right.
About things that should be public.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. All right. And number four, does the advisor follow their own advice? My God. My Lord, my God. You should stop talking to your wife like that. Hey, Susan, you better get your butt in this.
Right, exactly.
Will you get left? I ain't playing with you. Like I was saying, you want to talk softly to your wife. You want to be gentle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want Ike Turner trying to talk to me about, hey, this right. is how you...
People out here with a log in their own eye trying yes. to pick the speck out of yours.
Trying to pick that speck out.
Yeah, that twig out of
my,
your eye. I got a log in mine.
Lord,
yep.
out here. And that's the, what I mean, praise God, because I am a vehement about trying to not give advice on stuff that I don't have no nothing on.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's fruitless almost. It's like, even if it is sound advice, I'm not necessarily in that position.
Right.
So I try to talk from a position that I can. Like, I've encouraged a couple of dudes at the job. Like, hey, man, you should start a podcast. Why not? You know,
mm-hmm.
you have an opinion. It seems like a good space. It can be lucrative. You mm-hmm. can help people, whatever it is. And I'm only talking from that because I started one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I look like
right.
I look very foolish. I'm like, yeah, you should start one. It's like, well, where's your podcast?
That is so true.
Jesus wept.
No, and I think too that
yeah.
I think too, though, that sometimes people deceive themselves. Yeah. That's what you were talking about earlier. People mm-hmm. that overestimate their qualifications.
Yes.
And overestimate their own performance.
Yes.
To want to give you advice and say, oh, well, this is coming from somebody who knows. Mm-hmm. And you've just decided that you know, but you are fooling yourself.
My Lord.
You don't. And it's like, and the Bible says, you know, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Sure and enough. That's double-minded.
It is.
If you're saying one thing and living differently. You know, like, I'm not going to pick a fat health coach. Talking about, you know, this is your meal plan. I'm giving you your meal plan. We're going to meet at the gym this many. It's like, Susan, when's the last time you've been at the gym, First Susan? Of all, put that cheesesteak down.
I ain't gonna say that.
Sit here talking about.
That can be a little different, see, because he just don't care. All right, and don't mean that they don't know what they're talking about, but they definitely don't care.
No, but still,
yes.
I can't assume.
Can't do it.
I'd like, I have to, you know, a good tree bears good fruit.
Yes.
A bad tree bears bad fruit. How is a bad tree going to bear good fruit?
Oh, man.
You know, like, I have to take it for it.
see, it's different. Because sometimes hefty people, they do know what they're talking about. They
oh,
just
sure.
don't, they just don't care.
Like, sure.
I'm not doing
well,
all that.
Well, and even if they do care, maybe they're just struggling with self-control. That's me. I have a yes. ton of health knowledge.
Yes.
You know, I have a ton of it because I'm a researcher. So, like, I have a ton of knowledge. I have a ton of know-how. But I'm not out here talking about, come to Chelsea, your health coach. Like, Chelsea. Oh. You may want to shed a few pounds.
You may want to shed.
Because seriously, you need proof.
You need proof.
Like, you need, you can't, like, and unfortunately, God, man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Unfortunately, I don't have the ability to look at your heart. All I got is your appearance, honey.
That's all we got.
And you know, God bless you. If you're overweight, I'm overweight too. It's so, all right.
Yeah,
if you're overweight, so be it. I'm just saying, don't try to be my health coach. While you're overweight. And there's some people who, like, yeah.
overestimate.
They're like, but I'm qualified to tell you about your life. And it's like, look, you may have real good information, but I'm not going to be unwise to take advice from people that can't prove that they actually should be taken seriously.
Yeah, that's a good, great point.
Yeah.
Great point, especially your marriage relationships, man.
Yeah, because it's
people,
not. It's,
people
it's
try to put on.
It's important, man.
It's like, people try to put on.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people, but you'll see some cracks.
Yeah.
People try to put on. But when it's true, it is what it is. Like, sometimes you see somebody like, man, you know they love each other.
Right, absolutely.
Like, there's no doubt in your mind. And sometimes it'd be up and like, I didn't even know y'all was married. I thought that was your sister.
Exactly.
Let's wrap this up. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own. This is from the ESV.
Mm-hmm.
Do not lean on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths.
Amen.
The best advice you can ever get is from the Lord,
Amen.
Our God.
Amen.
It's in his word. That's why he left it for us. That's why he impressed on the hearts of men to write this down.
Yeah.
Everything that was written before time was written for our knowledge and our learning.
Amen.
Right? So that through the scriptures, we might have hope.
Amen.
That's the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
The hope that you need, the advice that you need, the success that you want,
mm-hmm.
it is all found in the word of God.
Amen.
Right? And your trust being in the Lord means that your soul will be satisfied. It will be secured. And it means that your spirit will be satisfied and secure. It will be built up. It will have hope. It will have faith. And it will have peace. It will have joy.
Amen.
And your body will experience some good things as well. In your marriage, in your life experience,
Amen.
And in your whatever, your business, your vocation, your education, mm-hmm. whatever it may be. If you started with the Lord, get a proper perspective, allow people to give you sound biblical advice,
mm-hmm.
it will change your life,
mm-hmm.
and it will all be for your benefit.
And it's on my heart to say,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I was looking up cleanliness is next to godliness.
I looked it up too. It says it's not in there specifically.
It's not.
But it's implied,
but it's not straight from. But anyway, I'm really feeling impressed to say that you may want to, first of all, we need to be seeking wisdom. You know, the Bible talks about that, like, chase after it. Like, that's something you should be fiercely pursuing is wisdom. But maybe you want to go to the people that aren't trying to give it to you.
Mm.
Maybe the people that are eager to say, oh, I want to tell you how to fix it. I want to tell you, I have good advice for you. Maybe those are the people we need to steer away from a little bit more.
Drinking my water.
Sip your tea. And, like, you know, but maybe we need to veer away from that and look for those couples that wow, they really love each other, where you see their love and then maybe seek them out and say, hey, I would like to connect with you.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a great point.
Yeah.
But all in all, we thank you for watching the Better Than One Marriage podcast, where we want people to come in here, get married, stay married, experience joy in their relationship.
Amen.
We want you to click on something, like it, don't like it, whatever. Do something. Put an action in there. Like, make a comment. Send it to somebody who you think needs it. Send it to yourself through your backup account. So then you'll get it because you need it, right? Make sure you give some love, give some hearts. Follow us on our Instagram. Follow us on Facebook. Watch us up on YouTube. It's all out there. It's all for somebody to be helped. And in you sharing, you may actually help someone who needs it, even if you don't feel like you need it.
Amen.
All right? I love you.
I love you too.
More than you know. We see you next week. Whenever time you come on, we'll be here. God bless.
God bless.